Thank you for the opportunities to share the God's word with you in this worship. I haven't been in EMC worship for a little bit, so it's my privilege. I have picked Proverbs this time to share with you. As we know that the vision of our church is making disciples and being a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. As a devoted follower of Christ, as a follower, a disciple of Christ, I think wisdom is one of the very important things that we need to gain and have. And this is what this Proverbs is about. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. I think many of you probably know about it. And that is, most scholars would agree that it's written by King Solomon. At least most of the chapters are written by King Solomon. And King Solomon was actually considered one of the wisest men in the land at that time, in the land of Egypt and of Israel. And his wisdom came from God himself. When we think about wisdom, in a secular world, in the world, we may think about wisdom or being smart or being clever in maybe these terms. You have a high IQ. You have good education. You have high education. Maybe you have many degrees and you have high academic marks. Maybe you also think about it as, oh, well, I'm very articulate. I can articulate well. And that's being wise, being clever. And then you may think, well, you know, my brain thinks really well and fast. So that's also another way of seeing being smart and clever. And sometimes even, in a negative term, we think about being wise or smart as being crafty. You know, that I can think of schemes that, you know, I would gain benefit, even though those schemes may not be pleasing in God's eyes. So this is how, in the world, we may think about knowledge, smartness, wisdom. But in God's eyes, wisdom is very different. And right in Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. So right away, God actually reminds us that, yeah, you want wisdom? This is actually a relationship with me. It's the fear of the Lord. It's an attitude. How we relate to God is where we gain wisdom, we gain knowledge. And King Solomon himself, when you think about King Solomon, his life, there's a lot of ups and downs in his life. He has his glory year, but he also have years that, you know, he was falling, he was sinning. So I think throughout his life, he has many of these encounters. And this is, I believe, is what he has experienced in his life, and that, you know, he, with his heart, you know, he wants to share with his son, and which is what God wants to share with us, that this is how we would see wisdom and how we will gain wisdom. I look at this 12 verses as kind of pairs, which actually, thankfully, the PowerPoint actually had kind of outlined it quite well that way. I look at the verses as like all the even verses, most of them, are actually the blessings that wisdom being a blessing that would come to us when we trust God. So those are the blessings we will receive. So verse 2 is that you will have a long life, prolong your life many years, and bring you peace and prosperity. So we probably just look at the even verses first. Look at all the good things, the blessing first. So you have a long life, you have a prosperity, which in the word prosperity is actually shalom. Shalom is peace. Peace actually is not about no hardship. Peace is about no matter in what circumstances, you will have that assurance from God that God walk with you and that God always be with you. So that is a piece of a prosperity there. And the other blessing, verse 4, is about you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. So that's another blessing, is that in front of God and men, you know, you have a good name. You will have good reputation. And people would actually, you know, think of you well, and that you'll be a encouragement to others, you'll be a blessing to others. So that's the second blessing you have here. And the third blessing, which is the next couple, which is the next pair, which is verse 5 and 6, The next one, which is verse 5, is that, or which verse 6 in, the last part of verse 6, which says, he will make your path straight. That in life, we have many paths to take. We have many decisions to make. Your career, your marriage, your relationship. There are many things, your job, you know, where you live, where you move. There are many, many paths that we take. And then God say, well, I'll make your path straight. And then the fourth blessing, which is in verse 8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And it's about physical, mental, and even emotional health. And then the last one, which is verse 10. So all the even number verses are blessings. Verse 10 say, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So it's overflowing, it's full, it's abundant, it's very full. So it's those are all the things that we probably desire for. If I ask, you know, anyone here and say, well, do you want those blessings? I'm quite sure we will all say, yeah, you know, of course I want those blessings. And then, so when you look back at verse 1 again, and then Solomon, God through the mouth of Solomon, is teaching us. So if we desire those blessings, what would be the channels? What would be the ways that we can live our life so that we can have those blessings? So if we go back to verse 1. So now we look at kind of more the odd number of verses. The odd number of verses start from the verse 1. If you remember, we were saying that verse 2 is the blessing. So verse 1 talk about, my son, do not forget my teaching and keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Can we go back to verse 1? Thank you. It talks about the first one that we need to pay attention to is that what we remember, what we put in our heart. It says, do not forget my teaching, that's God's word, and that keep those commandments deep in your heart. It's about God's word being filling me, filling you, that we'll have it in our heart. When I think about, you know, forgetting or remembering things, there are many things that we remember. You know, I remember the offense, maybe people had, you know, grievances people gave me, and, you know, the offense, people offended me. Now, I remember, you know, maybe the negative relationship, or maybe the things that, you know, that, or the worries I have. There are many things I would remember. But God say, remember what you really should remember is my teaching. Don't forget your teaching. And then not just having it knowledge, not a head knowledge, but really having it in your heart. The command is in your heart, and that it will have give you many years life, longevity, and then peace and prosperity. And then very similar in verse 3, he said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. And those are the things he wants us to own in our heart, in our life. Love and faithfulness, those are the attributes of God himself. So in another word, actually, Solomon is reminding us, you keep God, the attribute of God, in your heart, in your life, that never let it leave you. And love and faithfulness are things that, you know, it's not easy. Like, we have limited love, we have limited faithfulness. But when we have God in us, then we will be able to actually have those character, those inner character that would shine through. And that bind them around your neck is not just very superficially. You actually bind them around your neck and then have them engraved in your heart. It's tablet of your heart. So very similar to the first verse about going into your heart. Like Solomon, when he talk about wisdom, it's never about very superficial thing. It's all about going into your heart, how you have it in your heart. And the neck, the way he talks about, you know, having your neck, you know, bind them around your neck. When you think about the neck, I know there are many doctors and medical people in EMC. The neck actually houses many of the important organs in there. In the Greek anthropology, that's what they think about neck is actually a very important part of your life, because that's where your throat is, that's when you breathe, that's when you can eat, that's where we have all the main arteries going through. So if I want to kill you, you know, I probably cut your throat or cut your neck, right? And then you'll die. So that's how it talks about, well, have this around your neck, which is around the most important part of your life. That is part of your life. Make it part of your life so that you can, you know, that would bring you reputation, good favor, not just in man, but also in God. It's your character, the love and faithfulness in your character, and that you won't forsake that. And these verses together, these four verses together, you know, remind us again how important God's word is, and that, you know, we have it in our heart, and then we own it. And there's no shortcut. You know, oftentimes we say, well, I wish I have a shortcut how I can, you know, be a wise person, or, you know, I can be, you know, gain a lot of blessing. There's really no shortcut. Really, God's teaching, God's word, and God's character in our heart, and that's what, you know, that's where blessing comes out from. And those are actually not easy to do. And I know that myself. As I say, you know, there are many things I remember but may not be God's word. There are many things that, you know, I don't want it to leave me. Oh, I want money, I want this, I want that. I want people to praise me. There are many things I don't want to leave me, but it's actually the love, it's God's character that shouldn't leave me. But those are the things that we struggle with as human beings. We have that nature, sinful nature that resists it, and that we really need that. You know, we need God's love, God's, that we can trust God, so that we can actually live this life and, you know, have that blessing. And I was just visiting a grandmother, not my grandmother, one of the senior in the church, the other day. This senior lady has a fairly severe sickness, and basically is considered palliative care. And she was admitted to emergency because she's actually still living at home. However, on Thursday she was feeling discomfort in her chest, so she was admitted into emergency. So a couple of us went to visit her while she was still in emergency, and she just came out from some X-ray and scan investigation, and was just waiting in emergency for the doctor's result. So I went over, you know, just happened, she finished all the investigation and was waiting, and I went over and then just, you know, say hi, and, you know, and was just going to encourage her and pray with her. But even before I was able to say anything, she started reciting the Bible to me. And she say, well, I remember God's word. I remember Psalm 23. And she starts saying, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will, you know, I have no fear, I will fear no evil, because your staff and your rod, they comfort me. And then she recite a few more verses from the Bible. And I look at her, actually I was trying to hold back my tears, because I was the one that was going to encourage her, going to and support her. But it was actually her relationship with God that really encouraged me. And then she said, because she was saying, well, you know, these are the verses that really keep me going. It's the God's word that actually really give me that peace about talking about here. It's not a peace with no hardship. It's a peace that is, you have the assurance, even in difficult time, in hardship, even at the end, maybe, you know, she may not have a very long life to live. However, it is, even in those very difficult time, in the critical time, that's when those words come. And that's, she say, well, this is the blessing I have. This is a peace I have from God. And from her life and from her example, it just really encouraged me that, well, when I was preparing to preach these verses, it is really true. God's word really would last, and that it would actually carry us through in our life till the very end. I mean, maybe for some of us, you know, the end of life is still a long way from us. However, I mean, no matter what stage, what age you're at, it is still, God's word is still what would bring blessing, what will bring that assurance in you, in your life. The Word of God also needs a lot of trust. We have to trust in it, right? We look at the Word, but we have to ask God, God, give me the trust in your Word, and that, you know, I will trust in you. And you go into the next set or next pair, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, or in some other translation, say, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What are some of the things we lean on to? I think sometimes the more knowledgeable we are, the more independent we get, because we feel that, yeah, you know, I can make my own plan. You know, I can control this. I can control that. And then we lean a lot on understanding. And because understanding is what we feel we can have that hold on to, we can control. So, well, I'll do it. You know, I'll plan it as is. And that, in a way, that's how Adam and Eve, if you remember in Genesis, they were actually leaning onto their own understanding instead of trusting God's word, trusting what God had commanded to them and had prepared this blessing for them. But they say, well, I don't trust you, God. You know, I think I have my own way of doing it. So, you know, I'll do it. So that's how, you know, the fall came. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto our own understanding. In all our ways, submit to him, and he'll make our path straight. And I was talking to one of my friend who is a teacher. This friend is a teacher, and she has been teaching for about 20 years now. And before that, she was a librarian in the Bible College, and then she was also spending a lot of time doing different study. So as a teacher for 20 years, she's now 56, and she said potentially she could retire in 4 years, and then she will get her pension. You know, that's from, you know, general calculation and so on. And this plan seems very straightforward, and you know, if nothing unpredictable happened, this is what she can plan for, and she can just go with it. But then she shared with me that as she was thinking about this and thinking, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is all under my control, this is, you know, I can plan it, she just realized she doesn't have the peace in her heart. And then as she prayed about it, she's realizing that she's making all those plans by her own wisdom, and also without praying, without asking God, seeking God for God's guidance, and not really relying on God. And she recalled in her earlier year when she was teaching. And because she was teaching in small towns in Saskatchewan, and often the school in Saskatchewan, it's a small town, the school may close or the school may merge together, two towns, you know, merging. So school merging. So there's just a lot of changes in her position. And she remembered that she had to move about 6 or 7 times within the first while she teach. You know, she may have to move every year or 2 years. And it was like, really, in a human sense, it's very unsettled life. And she has to make many decisions. You know, should I move? You know, which job should I take? You know, which town should I go? But that's the time when she actually relied on God the most. She said, that time, I really seek God's guidance. I pray, and you know, I read the words. I really try to have all my quiet time, you know, and that, you know, I seek God's step. And that, even though it seemed so unsettled in her life that time, she feel that peace in her, and that she knew that God was leading her, and that at that time she cannot rely on her understanding. And then now, in the past 10 years or so, she actually has settled in one town. And then now that she's thinking, well, I'm going to maybe retiring soon. But it's actually the settlement that everything seems to be in my control. Everything is within my reach. That's when she realized that she's not relying on God anymore. And that she was saying, well, you know, I realized that, you know, so I, you know, I you know, I need to pray to God and ask God, you know, to lead me, even though it seems like it should be my retirement. But, you know, what should I be doing? Even if I retire, you know, after that, what should I be doing? You know, do I just, you know, use my own understanding, wisdom to do it, to plan it? And she said, yeah, when she was praying, she has to admit that she was, you know, feeling fearful. Because she was saying, well, you know, what if God say that, okay, you know, in the next 4 years, you know, I want you to move somewhere else. Or, you know, after your retirement, after your so-called retirement, I need you to do this and do that. She was saying, I suddenly actually have that fear in me. But at the same time, she also feel that, yeah, you know, I admit to God that I have that fear. But at the same time, God also give her the peace that no matter where she move, no matter what she'll be doing in the next 4 years or another 10, 20 years, that God is, you know, she is in God's plan. So her life actually remind me and encouraged me. I mean, I'm not quite retirement age yet. However, it just made me also think, well, you know, I'm, you know, at this church for 10 years, and oh, you know, things seem to be, you know, settled and so on. Do I actually rely on God anymore? Or should I be really continuing to seek God's will in my life, no matter how so-called settled I feel or not? And life is, you know, in a way, you know, you may seem settled on the surface, but deep down in my heart, there's also unsettlement in me, and that I continue to need to seek out God for God's will and path. And here you talk about the path straight. In English, you talk about path straight. In the Chinese translation, actually, it doesn't say path straight. It just say God will show you the way. You're talking about the path straight actually doesn't say that there's no hardship, no difficulty in the path. It just basically talk about the fact that this is a path that God give you a direction. And this direction, you can go, and there may be difficulty. There may be hardship. However, God, you know, with an everlasting love, would walk with us, walk with you. And that's how, you know, give us that assurance that we can go. And then do not be wise in your own eyes, similar to the verse before. And then fear the Lord and shun evil. This verse reminds me about Solomon himself. Solomon has his glory year, his very prosperous year of being a very good king. But at the same time, he also fell. You know, he married many wives with who worship other gods, and he himself actually went and worship idols. And you know, evil is actually something that creep onto us and that we need to shun. And that how can we actually shun evil is when we have the fear of God. When God is in our heart and replace, then we can actually in our heart that we can actually shun evil. And that he talks about the fact, you know, the health, body, soul, and mind, you have the health. I mean, some of the practical reason for sure is like shun evil, talking about if you take drugs. I mean, those are the things that will be evil in God's eyes for sure. And those are the things that will be also be harmful to our body. But other than that, there's other things that would also, you know, hurt our body, hurt our mind. And those are the things worth to shun, and then fear for God and rely on God. And then the last pair, which is 9 and 10, it talks about the fact that you honor God with your first fruit, and then with the first fruit of, and also honor God with your wealth, and also with the first fruit of all your crops. The context in this is that when we think about Israelite, they were being rescued from Egypt, they have the salvation, and then they were in the wilderness where they wander around. And they, as they wander around, God provide for them. And then they went to the promised land, and in the promised land they also have to fight to actually get, you know, gain all the lands. So there's actually many years of their lives that God has been with them, providing for them. And then when it comes to the point that they're going into the promised land, Deuteronomy in Moses remind them, you know, when you actually get your land, and that when you can settle, and you can plant your crops, and you can have wealth, that's, you have to remember, you know, honor me with the wealth and also the first fruit of your crops. It's another thing, this is another thing that needs a lot of trust, because our human nature would want to own everything. We want to keep everything to ourselves. I mean, generally, we think, well, if we give something out, if I give you something, then I will lose something. If I'm being generous, you know, I'm being faithful, an offer, then I lost my money or I lost something. And it's actually the opposite. God's kingdom is very much an upside-down kingdom. It's actually the more you depend on him, the more you are willing to honor him and give him the best, is that he would also honor us and give us overflowing. So it talks about your wealth. And if you look at Eugene Peterson's translation on the message, it's actually not just your wealth, it's all your wealth. It's just everything. God is saying that, you know, honor me with all your wealth, with everything. And the first fruit of your crops is the best. Give me your best, not your leftover, not the crumbs, you know, in the bottom of your tray. Say, I want the best. And that takes faith. Because when your first fruit come and the crops come, David was talking about vegetables and so on, right? When you have your first vegetables, you treasure them, you want it. You want it, wow, this is my first fruit. And this is the best thing. But God say, well, give me your best. And that, see how I will bless you. Give you the best, give me the best. Year, give me the best, all your best. And in a practical sense, those would apply to tithing. I mean, when we get our paycheck, how would you actually look at your paycheck and then do your tithing? Do you set aside the money? Right away you set aside money and say, well, these are the money I will offer to God. Or do you start spending, you know, making your own plan, doing your own spending, and at the end, if there's any left over, I'll give it to God. Well, this is a way to see how this verse can apply. Do we honor God with our wealth and also with the first fruit of your life, of your crops? And then the best also could be the best years of our life. In our congregation, in this congregation, there are a lot of young people, which is always very encouraging. You get young, you know, you have energy, you have motivation, you're starting your career, there are many things, and then you don't have lofa and bifocal, yeah, which I was preaching in CMC, you know, talking about lofa. You know, that's when you actually have all the energy, all the health, all the, you know, youthfulness, this is your best. You know, do you offer your best years to the Lord? You know, you don't have to wait till you retire, which is probably far from you right now. But offer the best to God. You know, trust in him that your career, your relationship, your marriage, your partner, and everything, you trust in him, and then you also offer all those to him. Give him the best of your years as you serve him. Not necessary as a full-time pastor. You know, you can serve him in whatever you do, but do you offer your job, your career, your work, your study to him, your relationship to him, and then, you know, give him the best? And it also, the fact that, and then it would overflow. And that's the kind of the paradox here. You know, the more dependent we are on him, actually, the more free we are, the more independent we become. We because we're not relying on the external control anymore. To give the best to him. And then at the same time, even the day of our lives, each day in a 24-hour day, you know, you sleep, but there's also in your waking hours, there's also time that is kind of the best time. So oftentimes we say, you know, find the best time and then offer that to God. You know, make that time a time that you can pray. Make that time a time you can read the word so that you can have the best, you know, energy, alertness to actually study and digest God's word. Not leaving God's word, leaving the prayer time till the very end when I'm really tired and then, you know, I slap and then, you know, fall asleep in prayer. You know, leave the best time to God and see how he can bless. And it's just say, well, barns will be filled with overflow and then your vats. Well, it's overflowing, but it does, again, it's an upside-down kingdom. It takes trust to know to follow that. And same as all those couples I talked about before, all those pairs I talked about before. And then last but not the least, which I wouldn't spend a lot of time on, talking about discipline, talking about God's love. As I was going through all the blessing, the commands, and then the blessing as a pair, you would realize that sometimes when you go through those commands in life, it's not always easy. You would encounter challenges. You will encounter maybe suffering. You may, just like what I was saying about this senior, she was sickness, you know, serious sickness. There are a lot of things that, you know, that we encounter. In the encounter, there's a few ways to see it. Sometimes, one time, as this verse talk about, is about God's discipline. I mean, I'm not saying that, well, if you're sick, then it's God disciplining you. That maybe, but however, in general, you know, that's oftentimes when there's suffering and hardship, that is also could be a time that God is, you know, leading you on the right path, leading you, correcting what you were doing, or just giving you tests and trial so that you grow, so that we mature. So when we have those difficulty and then we go run through those, you know, commands, we may have difficulties. We would look at it with verse 11 and 12 with that in our mind, that even in those hardships, or even if those are so-called disciplines, that is actually because of God's love. As parents, you have firsthand experience that, you know, you discipline your child, your children, because you love. The more you love them, the more you feel that you want them to walk on the right path. You may not discipline someone else's child or a stranger's child, but you will discipline your own child. And same with God. You know, God was saying that because the Lord disciplined those he loved, as a father, the son, he delights in. That's who God is, and he disciplines those he loves, and that's his love. And the other way to see how, as we go through those command and the blessing, and sometimes we think, well, how come, you know, I was following, how come I don't get the blessing? And one thing to look at it is that, you know, our faith is not like a wealth blessing faith. It's not like, well, you know, God, you know, you have to give him the blessing. Because blessing come often, sometimes, now and in this life. But at the same time, the blessing or the promise may not be seen right away in a very near future. And this verse is actually quoted in Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 12, the context, if you look about Hebrews 11 and 12, Hebrews 11 and 12 talks about many saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the many saints, and Joshua, those many people, they had followed God's leading and command. And many of them actually had to suffer a lot of hardship. And at the end, they even didn't even actually see some of the promises. However, what God has promised is that they were, I'll just have to find a verse here. Sorry. They were all commended for their faith, yet, this is in Hebrews 11, even 12. Yeah, this is in Hebrews 11, verse 39. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is actually, this is in Hebrews, talking about using this verse as kind of a bit of a background too. It's talking about sometimes the promises may not be fulfilled right away in, you know, in this life or in the very near future, but it will be fulfilled. And that again is really a faith and a trust in a loving God. So love, faith, is what we need to ask God for as we, you know, walk through life, as we look at those verses and follow. And As I wrap up, you know, I want you to give you a few questions to reflect on, and it's really from verse 5, talking about relying on God. What are some of the areas, you know, that a couple of reflections for you is what are some of the areas in your life you're not willing to trust in the Lord with all your heart? What are some of the areas in your life that you're not willing to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Could it be finance? Could it be your career? Could it be your relationship? Could it be your parenting that you're not able to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Could it be your future partner, your dating relationship? And why is it so hard to trust in the Lord with your whole heart? And that's another reflection question. Why is it so hard to trust in the Lord with all your heart in this area, in the area that you feel that you have a hard time trusting? And then I guess a prayer we have would be that we pray, God, please reveal to me, you know, those areas, and then also please help me overcome those barriers and help me to develop a stronger love and trust in you. I believe all those verses, all those teaching go back to is about having a love for God and also trusting in Him. As I said, none of those would be easy for us to accomplish, so-called, as a human. However, we ask God, God, give me the love for you, the trust in you, that I'll be able to live a life just like that, and that God, help me to love you more and trust you more so that, you know, I can be a pleasing person for you. May the word of God continue to be an encouragement to you. Let's pray.